This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our engineer and producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program. It is Tuesday, January 14th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along here on a sunny day in downtown Madison. A little chilly, a little nippy, but as we've been saying, bundle up, dress up. We'll be just fine, because by the weekend, it's going to get into the 30s, maybe some places into the 40s in parts of the Badger State. Not great news, by the way, for our friends up in Hayward. The Birkebeiner is coming up next month. We were there last year, might go back this year. They need cold, and they need, more importantly, snow. We need a good snowstorm. To paraphrase former state senator Dave Zien, what we need now is a horrific snowstorm. I won't go into the details of what that actually is from. It's a long story and slightly disturbing.
Maybe sometime later.
Sometime later. But what we need is a big snow. I'm old enough, Zommers, that we didn't have, I think they were just starting keyboarding. They called it keyboarding. I'm old enough. I took typing 1-2 on an electric typewriter in high school. One of the best things my mom ever made me do. One of the few things that she ever said, you have to do this. She goes, you are taking typing. And God love her for it, because it was one of the best things I ever did. A great skill for life. And
it was optional?
Oh yes, it was not mandatory at all.
Mom was right.
It was an elective, yeah. Keyboarding or typing. So our typing teacher, Jerry Cummer, hand to God, Jerry Cummer, who used to say during the winter, we'd look out the window there at the old high school at Richland Center High School, beautiful, great big windows, looking at the hillside, and we'd see, and the snow would be coming down, and he'd always say, big snow, little snow. Little snow, big snow, which means, and it's large. I don't know what the meteorology is on this, but basically when you look out and you see if they're small, little, fine snowflakes, it usually means you're going to get a larger accumulation. But if they're the big, fluffy, you know, Charlie Brown type of snowflakes, it usually doesn't amount to much. So little snow, big snow. The advice and wisdom of Jerry Cummer, who unfortunately had to leave early. But again, that's another bottle of wine. Rob Wheat, he's driving off the road right now. I'm telling all these Richland Center High School stories. It means nothing to a lot of people, but I'm enjoying them. It is 9 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. This is the only thing that's on Civic Media's radio network right now.
Inside jokes of Richland Center.
Yeah, exactly. All right, time once again for What's Worse. Let's go.
The choice is yours. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that.
Time once again for What's Worse. No prize money involved, but your chance to have your voice heard across Wisconsin's largest privately owned statewide radio network. You have Wisconsin Public Radio. They do a great job. But then you have all the other radio stations in Wisconsin. Civic Media, as it turns out, and we're proud to be a small part of it, is the largest statewide radio network privately owned in Wisconsin. Covers all the major media markets. It's a great way to get your message out. All right, let's try this. CP, our co-executive producer, along with our great graphics department here at the All Ball Show, have come up. Now we have actual graphics for this bit, which is fantastic. If you're watching on the stream on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, you can see it right there. Here's today's what's worse. What's worse, the 1980s or the 1990s? What's worse, the 1980s or the 1990s? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Could also text in on the Civic Media app. We'll take your calls and a text there as well.
This is a difficult one for me to answer because I was born in 1998.
What's worse, the 1980s or the 1990s? And CP, the graphics folks, the 1980s on our graphics are represented by a vintage photo of Hulk Hogan. And the 1990s are represented by a vintage photo of Bill Clinton on the White House lawn with a dog and an Argyle sweater.
I think they're pretty representative pictures.
They're pretty representative. What's worse, the 1980s or the 1990s? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Cindy listening up there in beautiful Appleton, Wisconsin. Cindy, what's worse, the 1980s or the 1990s?
Toss up. I don't remember much from either one of them, so I guess I'm just going to have to say what kind of a toss up.
They're equally as bad, you're saying. And again, well.
No, they're equally as good.
They're equally as good. All right.
Yeah.
All right. I like that. All right, Cindy. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse, the 1980s or the 1990s? Now, I lived through both of them as someone who was born in 1969. And they're unique. You know, the 80s, it was an era of course, Ronald Reagan, dominated politically on television. It was maybe the 80s are not dissimilar so much to about maybe what we're about to enter into. A Republican president and wealth and pomp and circumstance was very important. The big shows on television were Dallas, about the Ewings, a rich oil family in Dallas, and Dynasty, a big rich family out in Los Angeles. Glim, glam, big dresses, jewelry, you know, like liquor, big parties. It was all in the 1980s. Then in the 90s, it was George H.W. Bush to start. He got elected in 88. And then Bill Clinton, of course, came in and knocked him off with the help of H. Ross Perot, the independent candidate. Clinton went to the White House with less than the majority of Americans voting for him, but brought in kind of this, you know, Arkansas Southern Democratic sensibility. And of course, then he ends up, you know, in the Oval Office with Monica Lewinsky, which, and then he had Newt Gingrich in him, you know, but honest to God, I'm going to say this, I'm going to get in trouble, but I don't care. The really good music in pop music ended in the 1990s. Show me something from the 2000s or the 2010s that'll be played 20 years from now. You can't.
In the 2010s, I think so. In the 2000s, you're right.
I mean, you had Cheap Trick. Every Rose Has a Thorn. That's 1990-something. The late 80s and 90s had a lot of great music, pop music. It's still being played, by the way.
As it should be.
What's worse, the 80s or the 90s? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Jim in Brookfield. Jim, what's worse, the 80s or the 90s?
Definitely the 80s for somebody who was born well before you, Todd, before the 60s. I had a stock portfolio, and in the 80s, under Ronald Reagan, not so much. Had I been a multi-billionaire Elon Musk, I would have done great.
Sure.
But Jim from Brookfield, kind of level off. In the 90s, Bill Clinton did pass that economic package without one Republican vote. He had a majority, which stimulated the economy astronomically, and my portfolio, which I am now retired on, went up exponentially thanks to Bill Clinton in the 90s. And I also agree that the music in the 90s, I think, ended, but I think it was better. The music and the movies were better in the 90s and the 80s. It was just like people in the 80s were going through the motions.
Yeah.
So I say my vote for Jim from Brookfield is the 90s.
Are worse or better? The 90s are
they're
what?
Better. They're better.
Right, right. So the 80s are worse. Better. The 80s are worse.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Yes.
I that's a great argument, Jim. And you're not going to get a lot of pushback from me for the reason you stated. And I think it's really important to remember that not only the stock market was doing well in the 90s under Clinton, but it was Clinton and his people of a certain age will remember this political term, triangulation, where he and James Carville, one of his chief advisors to Clinton, figured out that because of the Lewinsky stuff, they needed a way to not be completely against all Republicans. They had to work with Newt Gingrich and try to make them look like the extremists and triangulate the political message. And they got rid of largely the deficit. My former boss, Scott Klug, one of his main priorities was to get down the deficit. And they got the country was in great financial shape at the end of Bill Clinton's term. 855-752-4842. What's worse, the 1980s or the 1990s? Dave, listening on WMDX in Madison. Dave, what's worse, the 80s or 90s?
Is this me, that Dave?
Dave, yes, you, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really complicated question. I guess the last caller was referring to that piece of economic legislation was the Omnibus Budget Reconciliation Act of 1993. That was probably the best piece of economic legislation in 40, 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it ushered in the longest and strongest period of economic growth in United States history. And you're right, we actually ran a budget surplus. On the other hand, Clinton, in order to be reelected, had to pass the crime bill that led to mass incarceration, a welfare bill that plunged millions of people in poverty. And there was a lot of other legislation that hadn't Clinton not signed it. Bob Dole would have been president, who he ran against in, 1994, and would have signed.
You also got to remember, I don't disagree with anything you said, but also remember people like my former boss, Scott Klug, a Republican, joined with Clinton and got through the assault weapons ban that Clinton signed into law.
That was part of the crime bill, but the rest of the crime bill was unfortunately absolutely horrible. And if he did that, that's kind of a blight on your former boss's history, because that led to at one time we had the largest amount of mass incarceration in the world, more than any other nation, more than any other tribe, more than any other nation, state, or country, or any entity. In fact, in human history, we had that. It's declining now, but it's still pretty bad, and that's the result of that crime bill, which contained the assault weapons ban.
Well, I appreciate the call, Dave. Thank you very much. That's part of politics, pragmatism. You don't always get what you want. Jeff Perry has a correction. Thank you, Jeff Perry, my resident musicologist. Every Rose Has Its Thorn was actually by Lionel Richie. Oops, I mean Poison. Thank you, Jeffrey. Back after this on Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Somehow I guess every rose has its thorn. Just like every night has its dawn. Just like every cowboy sings a sad, sad song. Every rose has its thorn.
Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. A little Poison. I played the crap out of that 45 back at WRCO in Richland Center back in the day. Came out in 1988. The year that Jeffrey Perry and I graduated, RCHS. He's correcting me. By the way, Andrew, maybe the text of the day so far, watching on, I'm not sure where he's listening, maybe the app. Andrew Main says, doing really good today, Todd, with your music facts. Maybe stick with immigration facts for now.
Also, what year did you say it came out?
1988.
That is correct. Okay.
Yeah, 1988.
I misheard you and thought you said 98. And I was like,
that is definitely not true. No, sorry. Because I got, Lionel, I Well, at least it's fair that both Lionel Richie and Kenny Rogers sang Once, Twice, Three Times, Lady. But then I erroneously credited Every Rose Has Its Thorn and Cheap Trick. I'm not sure why I did that. But no, Jeff Perry, who, by the way, this is why Jeff Perry is the musicologist that he is, and you can listen to his fine program. Dial him up at the great community radio station here just down the road from us over in Monona, WVMO. He has a great program called This Week in Music History. And if you don't live in the Madison area, no worries, you can dial him up on the Facebook. Jeff Perry, WVMO, This Week in Music History. So Jeff reminds us that, no, Every Rose Has Its Thorn is actually by Poison. And that was one of those songs when I'd be working an evening shift at RCL back in the late 80s and 90s. And I love that song. Used to just crank up the studio monitors and sing at the top of my voice because I was there all alone.
Should have had the mic on for that.
Yeah. Good thing they didn't have cameras back then. There would be video of me singing in the control room. Asking the question, why are we talking about 80s and 90s music? Because the what's worse today, what's worse? This is a great one. The 1980s or the 1990s? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. CJ listening on WMDX down in Stoughton. CJ, what's worse, the 1980s or the 1990s?
Well, financial, thanks for taking my call, Todd.
Yeah.
What was your, I like listening to your talk about music. What was your first concert you went to?
Boy, that is a great question. Yeah, that is a great question, CJ. I'm trying to.
Well, mine was Queen.
Really, yours was.
That's awesome.
Wow, that's a heck of a way to start. I had to think because probably like Richland Center used to have a really cool event called Star Spangled Celebration where they bring in like big country acts to Richland Center, and that was I probably saw my first legit concert there, and then after that. Maybe Garth Brooks when my sister was going to school out in Sioux Falls, South Dakota at Augustana. I saw Garth Brooks in concert. That was great. But how was Queen, CJ?
Oh, man, it was at Dane County Coliseum, and it was quite amazing.
Wow.
But, yeah, I mean, it's fun to listen to you talk about music anyways.
Well, thanks.
And someone one time gave you some crap about your laugh. And I think you got a great laugh.
Well, thanks. Yeah, you're a mensch. I appreciate it. So you have a vote on what's worse, the 80s or the 90s?
Well, financially, it was tough in the 80s. I bought our first house. Interest rates were at 18.5%.
Right.
And I got a 12.5% land contract, so I thought I was doing great. But, So I don't know. I think the 90s was better for me. And Clinton, yes, was president, but also Newt Gingrich and John Kasich helped create the surplus. But again, my favorite president was Ronald Reagan because he dropped taxes just like Trump's going to do, created lots of money to the Treasury. But Tip O'Neill and Ronald or the Democrats outspend the Treasury money at that time. So
let's remember, but also in the 80s, Tip O'Neill, an ardent Democrat and Reagan, an ardent Republican, also found ways to work together to save Social Security. So there was moments of bipartisanship amongst those two very partisan guys. Yeah. And they used to talk about this, that, you know, the work stops at 5 o'clock and they used to hang out and drink whiskey together and laugh like hell. And were actually friends or friendly beyond what they did at work during the day.
Exactly. And that's the way it should be.
Yeah. And this is why I'm convinced I have mad cow disease. My great friend Jeff Perry, and thanks all to him, by the way. He reminds me that my first big concert I saw was with him. And he can tell me probably the year that was. Maybe it was 88, 90. He had an extra ticket to Paul McCartney at the old County Stadium. and we went and saw Paul McCartney. Oh, it was, it was a great, great show. It was one of the best concerts of my life. That was really the first big concert I ever saw. And he ended, Jeff can correct me, but I think the last song he played was Hey Jude. And the County Stadium was packed. People back then still had lighters. Everybody holding them up and swaying as Paul McCartney sang Hey Jude and brought the house down. It was beyond amazing.
Wow, that does sound amazing.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah. All right, thank you. Appreciate you, CJ. Appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much. What's worse, the 80s or the 90s? 855-752-4842. Rob in Port Edwards, up against the clock. If you can make it quick, Rob, what's worse, the 80s or the 90s?
Oh, the 80s, definitely. Between union busting, the federal deficit going through the roof, thanks to Mr. Reagan, and something that was rather obscure was the law passed that he signed that companies could take pension funds that the companies determined to be in excess of what they needed to support the pension fund could be spent on whatever the companies chose to do. And the firm that I worked for, I had just left. They took those funds and spent them on personal things, and the pension went bust. And so thank you, Mr. Reagan and company. 80s were terrible.
Thanks.
Started to turn a ship, and then we went downhill again. Take care.
Appreciate it, Rob. Quickly, Nancy in Wausau, listening to WCXW up there in beautiful Wausau. What's worse, Nancy, the 80s or the 90s?
Definitely the 80s. I'm going to side with that last guy that called. I was going to combat the one before him. Definitely the 80s. Reagan was such a union-busting son of a gun. He's awful.
All right, thanks, Nancy. Appreciate it. Stay tuned. More calls after this. Also, my sister helping my memory further. I need to check. It's time for Todd to go to a retirement home. We'll come back, talk more about what's worse and what's going on in D.C. Don't go anywhere. And play more of Poison on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
I'm too sexy for my love. Too sexy for my love. Love's going to leave me.
What Aaron Somers plays as he's getting ready to go out every Friday night. I'm Too Sexy on the Civic Media Radio Network. A blast from the past, from the 1990s. Do you play that, Somers?
No.
By Right Said Fred, came out in 1991. Thank you to Jeff Perry, our ongoing contributor and resident musicologist, for helping us out with that great tune. We did not play a lot of that, Jeff and I, at RCO.
When asked if you guys were allowed to play it on the radio, he said, no way. No.
Peter Athanas would not let us play that song. We did dial up a little achy breaky, though. This is a song we actually did play a lot of. Little Billy Ray Cyrus.
You can tell the world you never was my girl. You can burn my clothes when I'm gone. Oh, you can tell your friends just what a fool I've been.
Here we go.
You can tell my
little achy breaky heart. Billy Ray Cyrus, a blast from the past, 1980s. Perry and I did play a lot of Achy Breaky Heart. That was encouraged.
I bet you did. Yeah, it was a popular tune.
Yeah, it was a very popular tune back in 1990. All right, what we're doing here is what's worse, the 1980s or the 1990s? What's worse, the 1980s or the 1990s? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go back to the phone lines. Troy, our friend Troy out there in beautiful Mount Horeb. Troy, what's worse, the 80s or the 90s?
Well, now I'm torn because I was going to say the 80s because of the music, but then people started bringing up the politics, and they're right, the 90s were better for that. So it's kind of both. I was also like
Liberace. You could go both ways. You could either do it with the music or the politics, whichever you want to do.
Well, there you go. I was also at that Paul McCartney concert.
Were you really?
Yes. Yes. I couldn't alone. I went to a lot of concerts alone because my wife at the time didn't want to go to them. Mm-hmm. So I went there all by myself, and it was amazing.
Well, it was one of the best concerts I ever went to in my life. Yes. Because as Perry reminded me, and then my sister weighed in, we as a family went to and saw Randy Travis at the Wisconsin State Fair. And what was, not that Randy Travis was any Paul McCartney, but what was interesting about it is the opening act of the Randy Travis concert at the Wisconsin State Fair that year was a little known guy. And we thought, who is this guy? And he was his songs were fine, but he had no rapport with the audience at all. He stood there like a statue and sang for like 25, 30 minutes and got off the stage. We're like, that guy's going nowhere. He went on to be one of the biggest acts in country music. His name? Alan Jackson.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that's one of those things where, you know, you're not a star and then suddenly you are a star. So I saw Alan Jackson before he became really Alan Jackson. But I mean, those are the things that Wisconsin nice. I don't care whether you're at Summerfest or you know, Country Jam or all the great festivals around Wisconsin. I mean, those are great things that bind us together. Well, Troy apparently ran into some wind there. So.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like. We also got a whole bunch of texts, but we have other stuff to get to today. Suffice it to say,
we do. We have let me just read a couple of them here because you know people have the kindness to text in.
That's true.
I want to shout out a couple of people. Let's see here. Chris in Sauk County, listening on WMDX, says as a solid Gen Xer, I say it's a tie. The 80s were a great time for childhood innocence, chaos, and pure fun that built character because we were still held to old-fashioned morals and manners by our elders. A lot of truth to that. The 90s were a great time and gone of age. That time just before social media ruined everything. Yeah, right? I mean, there's a lot of truth to that one as well. Social media and the internet certainly play a big part. Steve, listening on WAUK in Milwaukee, say, and the drugs were crazy in the 80s. Lots of cocaine and heroin. I never got into that, but I hear, I mean, you know, there was a certain culture there, right? Also, Travis, listening up in beautiful Pierce County, up in WCFW, the Tap. Thank you for listening, Travis, up there in beautiful Pierce County. He says, I would say the 1980s were worse because we had Reagan and Bush in the White House and the Packers still sucked. Then the 90s, we had Clinton, a balanced budget, and the Packers were getting better with a Super Bowl win, of course, in 1996. All right, fair enough. Bronwyn on WMDX in Madison says, I enjoyed both decades, possibly because I was young and free then. Well, there's something to be said for that as well. So, yeah, lots of great comments. I appreciate all the participation. Steve in Milwaukee says, 80s, the hands down, especially the fashion, right? The quick version of this story is back in the 1980s, I have no body to my hair. Heck, I barely have any hair left. But I have no body to my hair. In the 1980s, my local barber, Tom McCarthy, God love him. He was I begged my mom, she put a permanent in my hair to give it body, but it was left in and it looked like, you know, Raggedy Ann or Annie. It was all curly. And I was mortified. So we called my barber at home and he came down at like 6:30, 7 in the morning, and he cut as much of it off as he could. Because I wanted feathered hair. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Nick in Madison. Nick, what's worse, the 80s or the 90s?
Well, you know, originally I wanted to say the 80s just because it's worse, just because it was so close to the 70s. It was kind of like a, you know, growing pains or whatever.
Right.
I don't know how people lived when everyone smoked and wore polyester. I mean, we should have all been in flames. But I want to say the 90s was worse just because I'm a Badger through and through, but we moved here in 88 from Chicago. Mm-hmm. So I am a Bear fan. And in the 80s, the Badgers were awesome. In the 90s, they absolutely sucked. So just because of that, the 90s were worse.
Hey, fair enough. Appreciate the listenership. Appreciate the call, Nick. Thank you so much. What's worse, 855-752-4842? What's worse, the 80s or the 90s? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can continue to dial in on the Civic Media app to text us. Clearly, this struck a nerve, Zomber.
Yes, and I will say, from counting people's calls and texts, it seems like right now the 80s are winning as the worst.
The 80s are winning as the worst.
According to our listeners.
The heart of my childhood.
Well, they're ripping your heart out, Todd.
They're ripping my heart out. Look, it was fun. I mean, I don't know what's worse for me. Again, I think you judge it by music, by politics, by personal happiness. I don't know. It's a tough one. I guess I look back more fondly because of one of the texters there that said, in the 80s, you just went out in the neighborhood and played. There were no cell phones. There was no texting. You know, I'm going over to Jeff's or I'm going over to whoever and we're going to hang out. All right. You saw your family in 6 hours. Nobody worried. Nobody, oh my gosh, where is he? You just lived life. And you weren't looking at your phone. You were talking or playing or whatever with your friends.
Yeah, that sounds like it would have been cool.
It was a completely different time from that regard. And I think a lot less stressful in a lot of ways. So I'm going to say the 90s are worse.
I'm probably going to say the 80s are worse just because, again, I was born in 1998. Right. So my main reference point for these two decades is music. Mm-hmm. And the 90s has a lot of bands I really like starting and becoming popular, like the whole grunge scene and other alternative stuff. So like Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Green Day, Weezer, a bunch of stuff that I really like.
Well, there you go. All right. Thanks for playing, everybody. Tomorrow, another edition of What's Worse in hour number two. And this one I feel is going to be extraordinarily controversial. And I have very strong feelings about it.
Oh, boy.
And it's a great mix-up, or a great, what do you call it, a mix? A mashup, that's what I'm trying to say. It's a great mashup involving food and celebrities. So do not miss, because I have strong feelings on this one.
I'm looking forward to hearing your take.
Yeah, tomorrow. Also tomorrow, we have Pat Kreitlow on the show for a Wednesday. And then coming up on Thursday, very happy to and excited to announce this big show on Thursday. I believe Trigvi Olsen will join us in hour number one. And then in hour number two, Jeff Wright, one of the challenger candidates for Wisconsin Superintendent of Public Schools, Jeff Wright, will be right here live in studio at 1:30 on this program. Going to spend a half an hour with him, why he is running for Superintendent of Public Instruction here in Wisconsin, what he might do differently than incumbent Jill Underley, and what the state of Wisconsin's K-12 system is. Jeff Wright, just after the 1:30 mark on Thursday. By the way, happy birthday to my friend Kristen Stelper. Sorry. She has a birthday today. Great friend from the L.L. Bean days, actually.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday, Kristen, to you. All right, we're having so much fun with this stuff, but I said that we would get to it, and Zomers, thank you for reminding me of it. There is a hearing going on. There is some serious news out in Washington, D.C. today. Happening the Pete Hegseth hearing for Department of Defense, Secretary of Department of Defense. Want to bring you a couple of cuts from about an hour and a half, 2 hours ago this morning out in Washington, D.C. First of all, this is Democratic Senator from Connecticut, Senator Richard Blumenthal, who is trying to nail down Hegseth, asking him if he would submit to an FBI background check.
I believe that we are entitled to the facts here. I've asked for more documents. I assume you'd be willing to submit to an expanded FBI background check that interviews your colleagues, accountants, ex-wives, former spouses, sexual assault survivors, and others, and enable them to come forward.
Senator, I'm not in charge of FBI and background checks.
But you would submit to it and support it.
I'm not in charge of FBI background checks.
Thank you, Senator.
They cut him off right away. Senator Richard Blumenthal questioning Hegseth, Pete Hegseth, nominee for Secretary of Defense under oath. And remember, our friend and dearly departed now, the late great Democratic Wisconsin state senator and majority leader of the state Senate, Tim Cullen, would remind us that when you're dealing with politicians, anything other than a yes is a no, and anything other than a no is a yes. So Blumenthal got Hegseth to admit that no, he does not want a background check. And remember also that some of the people, like ex-wives and women that he allegedly sexually assaulted, have NDA, non-disclosure agreements, that they signed that legally bars them from talking about him. He could lift that, by the way, if he wanted to. He could say, I'm going to allow this opportunity. The NDA doesn't apply. But he won't. Here is Republican Senator of Mississippi trying to prop Hegseth up, saying, well, you know, he's an unconventional candidate.
This nomination is unconventional. The nominee is unconventional. Just like that New York developer who rode down the escalator in 2015 to announce his candidacy for president. That may be what makes Mr. Hegseth an excellent choice to improve this unacceptable status quo that I just described.
Senator Roger Wicker, Republican of Mississippi. Do we have time for the next one or need to come back for that? Here is Roger Wicker, Republican, talking about Hegseth's allegations on personal conduct.
Much has been made of both Mr. Hegseth's personal life and some of his policy pronouncements. Regarding his personal conduct, Mr. Hegseth has admitted to falling short, as we all do from time to time. It is noteworthy that the vast majority of the accusations leveled at Mr. Hegseth have come from anonymous sources. Contrast these anonymous accusations with the many public letters of support and commendation.
So, again, the Republican side tried to, and what's important to remember, I think, is that they're not denying any of these allegations, both proven and allegations, against Hegseth. They're just trying to prop it up and say, well, you know, he's just an unconventional nominee. We all make mistakes from time to time, which, of course, is true. But not all of us are trying to lead the men and women of our military and armed forces. Going to come back here with Jack Reed, Democrat of Rhode Island, has to say, and why he says he will not vote for Hegseth. Take your phone calls as well. 855-752-4842 is the All Ball Show for a Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Title Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock. At the top of the hour, ABC, CBS News, a check of weather and sports with a great sports reporter, Mike Clemens. And then coming up, it is the Maggie Dawn Show from 2 until 4 today. Maggie Dawn talking about what's all included in a special counsel Jack Smith's report into the January 6th insurrection. Join Maggie for a breakdown of the report and the takeaways Wisconsinites need to know. Then she's also going to join Dom Salvia on the Dom Salvia Show. So an extra dose of Dawn. And who doesn't want that, right? I mean, that's fantastic. And then tonight on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 6 until 7, Pete welcomes Dr. Sherry Stoka, a dietitian and nutritionist from Milwaukee, to check in for how all those resolutions are going here in the new year. And then the show welcomes a local band, Ask Your Mother, which I understand is a spinoff of the great TV show How I Met Your Mother.
No, I was not aware of that.
Neither was Pete, as it turns out. No, great programming.
Or the members of the band.
Great programming all day and evening long here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Right now, bringing you just a flavor, little analysis of what's going on out in Washington, D.C. today. Congressional hearings on Pete Hegseth, President-elect Donald Trump's nominee for Secretary of Defense. Played some cuts before. Want you to hear from Democrat from Rhode Island, Jack Reed. And you say, who the heck is Jack Reed? And that's kind of the point. Jack Reed is a pretty middle of the road, I'm not sure I can say conservative Democrat, but he's not a big partisan. You don't hear Jack Reed taking a lot of political pot shots at Republicans. He is a supporter of America's military. And here's what Jack Reed had to say today at the congressional hearing after having met with Pete Hegseth, one of the few Democrats that Hegseth agreed to meet with on the Senate side.
Mr. Hegseth, I do not believe that you are qualified to meet the overwhelming demands of this job. We must acknowledge the concerning public reports against you. A variety of sources, including your own writings, implicate you with disregarding the laws of war, financial mismanagement, racist and sexist remarks about men and women in uniform, alcohol abuse, sexual assault, sexual harassment, and other troubling issues. I have reviewed many of these allegations and find them extremely alarming. Indeed, the totality of your own writings and alleged conduct would disqualify any service member from holding any leadership position in the military, much less being confirmed as the Secretary of Defense.
And that right there is the point. That, okay, so we all make mistakes in life, and some greater than others. But the point that Senator Reed makes is that the things that you, Mr. Hegseth, have admitted to on your own, in your own writing, on your own TV show and Fox, in interviews, things that you have admitted to doing, that if we held the same standard to the general military, they would never get promoted. So how can this individual lead our men and women in uniform and expect them to follow when they're going around the very rules that would apply to the people that he wants to lead into battle? Here is what Jack Reed said to Hegseth on the allegations that he mismanaged funds for veterans.
Concerned about your abilities as a competent manager of organizations far less complex than the Department of Defense. From 2008 to 2010, you led the organization Veterans for Freedom, which had an annual budget of less than $10 million. In each year you were in charge, expenses far exceeded revenues until the organization teetered on bankruptcy and had to be merged with another group. In fact, according to public reporting, an independent forensic accountant reviewed the organization's finances and discovered evidence of gross financial mismanagement. I would note that this report has not been made available to any government agencies, which is, I think, alarming. But a Republican advisor to you during your tenure at the organization who read the report stated, and I quote, "I watched him run an organization very poorly, lose the confidence of donors. The organization ultimately folded and was forced to merge with another organization who individuals felt could run and manage funds on behalf of donors more responsibly than he could. I don't know how he's going to run an organization with an $857 billion budget and 3 million individuals. And that is the only comment we've had and the only access we've had to the forensic report."
I know a lot of veterans. We hold veterans in high regard on this program. And I don't care whether you voted for Trump or Harris or whoever. If you're a veteran, it should boil your blood to think that a guy who ran a veterans organization into the ground with people who gave their hard-earned money to support veterans to benefit himself. I don't understand how that individual is expected to have the respect of the men and women in uniform of the United States military. Probably don't have time for the last cut we do. All right, here's the last cut on why Reed is voting against Hegseth.
"Indeed, the challenge of the Secretary of Defense is to remove partisan politics from the military. You propose to inject it. This would be an insult to the men and women who have sworn to uphold their own apolitical duty to the Constitution. Mr. Hegseth, you are the ninth nominee for Secretary of Defense that I've had the honor to consider as a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee. I have voted in favor of all your predecessors, including those in the first Trump administration. Unfortunately, you lack the character and composure and competence to hold the position of Secretary of Defense. Thank you."
Jack Reed, Democratic Senator of Rhode Island. That should be the template of how Democrats proceed in the next Trump administration. No yelling, no calling of names. Stick to the facts. Jack Reed voted for every one of the nominees for Secretary of Defense prior to this, including Trump's first ones. That's how disturbing the resume is of Pete Hegseth. And those are the facts. Great show today. Appreciate you having us along. Thank you to Luke Mathers. Thanks to Aaron Zommers and all your great participation and calls. There's going to be a big controversial What's Worse tomorrow. Don't miss it. And also, Mr. Pat Kreitlow. We'll see you then. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you tomorrow. Mankey Dawn's next.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.